It's plain this cannot continue forever. The only remaining question is how long the charade lasts. John Maynard Keynes famously remarked markets could remain irrational longer than you can remain solvent, and acknowledging that timing is a crapshoot in the financial world. But, when the game's eventually up, the fall from grace is guaranteed to be rapid and monumental, akin to Wile E. Coyote finally realizing he's run over the cliff edge and gravity's about to reassert itself, no matter how hard his little legs pedal. Unfortunately, our looming descent will be no laughing matter. This isn't some Warner Brothers cartoon, after all. No, the fall for many Canadians will be long and painful. But it's inevitable, given the house of financial cards our country has stacked for itself. Such dire straits are mainly due to our federal government's relentless and unprecedented crusade of spending obscene amounts of money we don't actually have. To manage this feat, the Trudeau regime simply keeps borrowing more and more of the needed moolah, so we now owe more than $1.2 trillion. For heaven's sake, don't try to count that high. Math geeks estimate it'd take more than 30,000 years. For naive souls imagining the fire hose of fiscal excess would finally be wound up following those 3 years of COVID-19 pandemic spending shenanigans, where copious cash was sprayed willy-nilly to every nook and cranny of Canada, a rude awakening arrived with the Grit's latest budgetary horror show. Finance Minister Chrystia Freeland, merrily playing Robin to the profligate Batman that is our Prime Minister, announced we'd spend a further $40 billion more than we take in during the fiscal year beginning, appropriately enough, April 1. But this was no April Fool's joke. In part, this was to placate the joker of Canadian politics, NDP leader Jagmeet Singh, who demanded and therefore received a new universal dental plan included in the budget, as part of his continued parliamentary propping up of the Liberal minority government. Of course, once introduced, such a scheme will be with us forever. Come on. Which future politician would dare axe a program fixing people's teeth? Not one with any hope of re-election, that's for sure. Yet it would be wrong to place all the blame for such reckless spending solely at the feet of the current crop in power. They have a willing and capable accomplice in this fiscal chicanery, that being Canadians ourselves. After all, few of us would turn down a check from the government. But what came first? Did our relentless push to have government solve our every issue, no matter how personal or picayune, subsequently drive those practicing the political arts into giving us exactly what we most desired? Or did those seeking our vote first come up with these tempting, make-a-wish, any-wish platforms to thereby ensure their election to office? Chicken or egg, the result's the same. We're merrily jettisoning the country's future by indulging in a lifestyle today that we refuse to pay for tomorrow. Let those who come later pay that tab. We'll hit a wall, of course. In our bones, I think we know this. Yes, there will come a time when the world won't let us borrow at today's relatively low rates. Then the yield necessary to make Canadian bonds attractive will edge up. And when you owe way more than $1 trillion, that's no laughing matter. It has severe consequences, one of which is a massive and unavoidable reduction in government spending. But by that point, Trudeau and Freeland will be long gone, insulated by inflation-linked pensions and trusty trust funds. Meanwhile, the rest of us can try pedaling our feet to stay afloat. Yep, just like Wile E. Coyote.